So it's Romans 12, 1 to 20. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified, so it'll be different from what you've got. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. For by the grace, the unmerited favour of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. For as in one physical body we have many parts, organs and members, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use, so we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another, having gifts, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them. He who has the gift of prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts and encourages, to his encouragement. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honour to one another. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavour. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. Blessed are those who persecute you, who are cruel in their attitude toward you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, snobbish, high-minded and exclusive, but readily adjust yourself to people, things, and give yourselves to humble tasks. Never overestimate yourself or be wise in your own conceits. Repay no evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble, aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not let yourselves be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thank you. Wow. It's a big ask, isn't it? It's a huge one, really. So, we've done gifts of the Spirit. We've done fruits of the Spirit. We've done gifts of the Spirit. And these are gifts of service, also through the Spirit. Okay? Nothing we do is on our own. All of it is with God and with His Spirit. But that's a big, long list, isn't it, of what we're supposed to do. But let me break it down for you. It's quite simple, really. Before Jesus, the Jewish nation, in order to have forgiveness for sin, had to sacrifice animals. Must have been very messy. Whenever I was at college, whenever we talked about this, I was thinking, can you imagine the smell? It must have been awful. I mean, it would have been like an abattoir, wouldn't it? All these animals dying and being bled.
The flies.
But that was what they had to do to receive any forgiveness of sin. The problem is, by the time they've left the temple, they've probably sinned six times before they've even stepped outside. If they're anything like me, anyway. We are human and we are fallen. And somebody sent me a lovely email asking about how it is that the Spirit was released when it was always there after last week. Because I talked to you about the fact that with Jesus in heaven, then the Holy Spirit could be released for all of us. Yeah? Do you remember that bit? Almost. Maybe. Because the Spirit's always there. It was there in the beginning. Funnily enough, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right from the very beginning. But the Spirit only came down upon certain people at a certain moment in time and was limited because we were still doing sacrifices of animals to allow us to be holy and forgiven. That's why ordinary people weren't allowed in the Holy of Holies in the temple, because they weren't pure enough to be in the presence of God. None of us are. Jesus died, rose again. Our debt for our sin has been paid by him before God. Now, this gets complicated now, so hang on to your seats. God looks at us. We are sinful.
Naughty.
Jesus comes in, can you play Jesus, please? And steps in. I'm God, you know. So God is looking at Sitch. Jesus steps in with his sacrifice, and all God sees is Jesus. Yay, holy, woohoo! Okay, you can sit down now. Every single time we are looked at by God, all he sees is the purity that Jesus has bought us on the cross. Maybe not quite so complicated. But we forget that. We forget that bit. Because we are good at telling ourselves how bad we are, aren't we? Oh, I didn't get that right. Oh, I didn't send the text for the reading this morning. Oh, I didn't do. Oh, I was really nasty. I really shouldn't think like that. That's really, really bad. Thank goodness nobody else can hear it. But God does. But we're good at knocking ourselves down, aren't we? But God gives us gifts. God loves us. God sees us as he created us. Before we went out and did things we shouldn't. Because through Christ and his sacrifice, that's all he sees. We have been washed clean through Christ. That's something to celebrate, guys. Really, honestly. Bit more enthusiasm? Could he? Thank you. We're going to work on this, all right? We're going to get there eventually. So, we are pure in his sight. Excellent. So what's that got to do with acts of service? Each of us are given gifts and talents. Sometimes we know what they are, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're oblivious to them because they come so naturally to us we've never thought about it. Never crossed my mind that whenever I'm in a situation, I'm quite happy to turn around to somebody and go, yeah, come over for tea, it's fine. Don't know what we're having, could be beans on toast, but you're welcome to join us. Never crossed my mind that was a gift at all. Until I started meeting people who don't do it. And I was like, oh, actually, some people are uncomfortable with this. My mum being one. Sorry, mum. I don't mind. We've had dinners that have started with one visitor and ended up with 6, 9. I don't mind. If there's food on the table, you're welcome to join us. But God gave me and Mark, fortunately, because that would be difficult, wouldn't it? The same gift. I'd have bring in home anyone in it. Yeah. God knows what he's doing. But we also have this feeling, I'm not supposed to say that, because that's bigging me up. Yeah? Is it?
No.
It's false humility to step back and go, no, I'm not good enough to say that. You have a go at that, that's fine. Is it? No. God has given you a gift. Stand up, celebrate it, and use it. You know why? Because he gave it to you for the good of his church. For the good of his church and for the good of his gospel. It's amazing how many conversations you get into about Jesus if you invite someone for dinner and they're not expecting it. Corin took it a little bit too far once when we were... No, it wasn't. It was Share. Took this a little bit too far once when we were at a reading at Waterstones and she invited everyone for dinner. But hey, if everyone had turned up, great. Nobody did, funnily enough. But it's great when you see your 4-year-old, 5-year-old invite every single stranger in the whole of Waterstones, tea at my house. Yay! What an amazing statement. What an amazing witness to how God works. Now, I could be like, oh, no, I shouldn't really tell that story because, you know, need to not be prideful and, you know. When actually, no, God gave me a gift. I need to use it. I learnt that the hard way by being called to be a minister and going, you've got to be kidding. We don't need to be modest about those gifts. We need to stand up and go, no, I'm good at this. I'm good at this. God's given me this gift and he's given it to me for a reason. And if you withhold that gift, what about us? What about the church? There's a gaping hole. If you're good at a particular thing because God has blessed you, and you go, oh, no. There's a hole. But there shouldn't be one because God's provided the gift within the church. You're just not stepping into it. Just to make it even more challenging. And we can come up with lots of reasons, can't we? Oh, we're busy, haven't spent time with the family this week, haven't done this, haven't done that. Really? Because who gave you the breath in your body? Who gave you the family? Who gave you your job? God. God gives us every blessing in our life, but it is there for service to him. That's what was in the reading about don't conform to the world. Look how much money I earn. Aren't I clever? I've got a brand new car. I've got a nice new house. Oh, the next door neighbour's got a bigger kitchen. I better move. We laugh, but it's not too far from the truth, is it? His TV's bigger than mine. Let's get a bigger one. We all do it, don't we? You know, it's the way we live. We live within a society that does it constantly. You just have to look at the adverts for 5 seconds to see that we are sold something better than the one that was before. You've got a perfectly good Hoover, yeah, but this one won't let the hair get caught in it. So you need this one now. The other one works, but this one's better, so you need this one. It's easy to get swept up in that. But how about, I've been blessed with a bonus this year, how can I bless the church? How can I bless God back and say thank you? Is there somebody who we know is in need who we can bless? Because you have been blessed financially. Not always money. You've been blessed with the gift of hospitality. And when it's finished, a really nice house. And guess what? You can all come round for lunch. Possibly not all at once. What's your gift? Now, sometimes I admit you don't necessarily know what it is. And if you're sitting there going, I don't have one, I really don't. I'm not sure what she's talking about, because I don't have a gift. You need to speak to the person sat next to you. Because without a doubt, they will probably, almost definitely, be able to tell you what it is. And if not the person sat next to you, try someone else who knows you, if you've made the effort to sit next to someone you don't know. But if the person knows you, they will know what your gift is, believe me. But I'm pretty sure most of you are sat there and you actually know what gift God's given you. The question I've got is, are you using it? Are you using it as God asks you to use it in the church? Because all the work we do here is to shine his light out there. And when we get this right, we shine brighter than the sunshine. It shines brighter than anything you can imagine. If we love one another sacrificially, as that passage is asking us to do, that light will shine brighter than anything you can imagine. If you put others automatically before yourself, that will shine. In a community and society that does not do that, it will shine. It listed some of the gifts that are used, of service that are used in church. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, lending, leading, showing mercy. I could go on and on and on. There were lots of them, weren't there? But at the core of that was to love. Not to hold a grudge. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? I hate it when that one comes up. But it's true. We're about to take communion. Is there anybody you are holding a grudge against? Because if that is in your heart as you take communion, God is going to challenge you on it. I guarantee. God's love and grace is unconditional, scandalously so. You are forgiven again and again and again. You cannot out-sin the grace of God. That's a bit radical, isn't it? How many times have you said or heard someone say, they've had 2 chances, that's it? We've all done it, haven't we? Especially if you're a parent. But we've all done it. Now, I am not asking you to become doormats, all right? I am not asking for people to walk all over you and you to continue to let them. But there is a way, isn't there, where you can keep somebody, if they are continually using you or hurting you, where you can continue to love them, but you keep them at a slight distance for your protection. But you don't hold a grudge and you don't shut the door. Because God can speak into somebody's life at any point. And if you've turned around and gone, you've had your chances, see ya. Where is God in their life then? Now this is hard, I know it is. Okay, I'm not standing up here and going, right, I want you all to leave and get this right now. Because that's not also not what was asked out of the passage. It is a transformation. It is not a bolt of lightning. One minute I'm really, really bad, and the next thing I'm really, really good. That's not how it works. I wish it was. But it isn't, is it? This is a continuing work, but not your work. All you've got to do is to surrender to God. Piece of cake, really, eh? Just be careful what he asks you to do. But that's it. All you've got to do, because you are now the sacrifice. We don't go and sacrifice lambs and goats and chickens and cows and whatever else they... Doves was the other one, wasn't it? We don't do that now. Thank you. But actually, what we do is harder. Don't you think? Because actually... we're the sacrifice. We have to every day, or even every minute of every day, sacrifice to God. God, let me do what you want in this situation. When I'm about to lose my temper, God, help me to be righteous in where I am. When we see injustice, God, help me to react in your love. Sometimes we ask once a day, sometimes we ask a million times a day. But each moment of every day is our lives being sacrificed for God. Let you be in this moment. When this person has sworn at me for the 26th time today, let me love them. Let me not curse them back. You know, it's amazing how powerful that is. If you show love to someone who's showing you hate, there is nowhere for them to go. And when you are feeling angry and you are feeling resentful, where do you go? Any ideas? Back to God. Back to Jesus. This person has driven me mad. Please, God, can I have some patience? Mind you, be careful praying for patience, because he always puts you in situations where you need it. But God, help me. Give me patience. Give me your love in every situation. You have not got to do this by yourself, and you've not got to ace it by tomorrow. Yay! That's good news. Because the good news is we can keep going back. We can keep going to God, going, yes, I messed up again. I'm really, really sorry, but yay, I'm saved, and let's try again. And you're not doing it by yourself. So what are your talents? What are your gifts and are you using them? I am not going to go around and put a head count. But I challenge you. I challenge you this week to find out what your talent is if you don't already know. And I'd like you to step out in it at least once this week. If you're feeling really righteous, once every day. Think you can do that? Let's give it a go, shall we? Okay, in preparation for our communion, we're going to do it a bit different. Just because I like mixing it up a bit. We're going to do a Celtic communion. So the words are going to be different, which is always good because it keeps you on your toes. Because you're going to have to listen because you don't know what's coming next. But also because different traditions have different blessings and richness, just like us. All of us are different. If everybody here was a really good administrator, you'd never hear me on the mic. If everyone was really good at doing sound, you'd never see me. The lights wouldn't be turned on or go back on. Yeah? Just because you see your friend good at something and you're like, I'd like to have that, fine, ask God for it, but don't resent them because they've got it and you've been given something else. Okay? We're all unique and we are, we should be united in our diversity. We should be happy with the differences and we should celebrate them.